Our scripture reading today, we can find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 20. And I will also read from Heidelberg Catechism. Today is the Lord's Day 21, question 54 to 56. I will first read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here is the infallible word, the precious word of our Lord. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these workers, that one, that the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is that therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God said the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. So the Lord's Day 21, question 54 to 56. Question 54. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? Answer. That the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer. First, that all and everyone who believes being members of Christ are in common, partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Question 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sin? Answer. That God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the triune of God. Dear congregation, as we know that Apostle Creed is a good summary of essentials of the faith. It contains the confession that I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, and in the Lord's eternity, I believe in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And now in our question 54, I believe in the church. They're very important. The church cannot be separated from the triune God. The Greek word for church is ecclesia. That is the word ecclesiology come from. We know the word ecclesiology means the theology of the church. So this word ecclesia basically denotes the meaning of gathering or assembly. And actually it comes from two Greek words meaning called out once. Therefore, the word church means what the answer to the question 54 describes. That is a community of persons called by God through his word and spirit to be his people. In our reform circle, we would say this is invisible church. Because not all members in the visible church are believers, but in this invisible church, it's all Jesus Christ gather his people to the church to worship him. So it's what we call invisible church. So when the Apostle Creed talks about I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, it means the elected children of God who are led by the same Spirit into the same body of Christ. As 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, where Jesus Christ is the head. This Holy Catholic Church, as what Acts 20:28 says, it is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we call the church is holy, we are saying that by the blood and Spirit of Christ, the church have been washed and cleansed from their sins. But when we speak of Catholic Church, we need to be notified here. It does not mean what we hear now, Roman Catholic Church. The Church of Rome unjustly calls itself the Catholic Church. It is a false church and does not merit the name Catholic. What the Apostle Creed means here is that I believe in this holy universal church, so the Catholic can be understood as universal. This holy church, which is purchased by our Lord Jesus Christ, is out of the whole human race. It does not belong to some certain group. Not only those for those riches, not only for the Jews, all people, all sinners, not only to Jews, but to the Gentile. So the gospel, Jesus Christ, is believed on in the world, as 1 Timothy 3:16 says. So this is what the answer of question 54 says. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, gathers his people out of the whole human race to everlasting life. And all true believers who are saved by grace of God are living members in this holy Catholic or this holy universal church. So as we talk about the true believer, the living member of the church, now we can move to next question. What do you understand by communion of saints? First of all, when we say saints, it refers to the true believers of Jesus Christ. We can see most of the time when Paul writes a letter to different churches, in the beginning he will greet them, dear saints who are in Jesus Christ. Paul greet them, dear saints who are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, all saints are members of Christ because the church is Christ's body. And all saints are in this church. So all saints are the members of Jesus Christ. In the previous Lord's Day, when we heard the message in Lord's Day 12, question 32, it describes about Christian saying that I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partakers of his anointing. And here, it elaborates that true believers are partakers of all his riches and gifts. And the Apostle Paul concludes these Christ's riches and gifts so well in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 30, in four things. What are those Christ's riches and gifts? Paul concludes these four things: wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Moreover, each true living member of the church should use their gift, which God gave to them, to serve one another in love for the benefit of the church. Each believer has different gifts, and they're all good for church, and the church cannot separate them apart, just like we have different parts in our body. Each part of our body has its function. Eyes has their functions. Legs has their functions. Therefore, the true living member of the church must not despise other saints because God used their all kinds of gifts for the good of the church. They are all in common in Christ. And on the contrary, each true member of the body of Christ should love and care one another and use their gifts willingly, humbly, cheerfully, because they are one in Christ. And as we consider about last question, we can see the flow of this Lord's Day. It began with the true Catholic, the true Holy Catholic Church. They're all God's people who are caught and gathered by Jesus Christ. And moved to communions of saints. And all saints are the true believers, true members of church, Because they are united in one body. All believers are in this Catholic, universal, holy church. And all these saints who are in Christ, their sins are forgiven. It is what question 56 says. I believe the forgiveness of sins. First, from the answer we know, our sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ's satisfaction. His atonement on the cross, the blood he shed for his people, wash away the sins of sinners. Here we know Christ's death is the only satisfaction of our sins. Not our satisfaction. When we see the Lord's Day 16, it says our death is not the satisfaction of our sins, only Jesus Christ. Moreover, Heidelberg Catechism here speaks the reality that as a Christian, we have the daily struggle with sin because we still have remaining sin when we live in this world. It is a struggle of Paul when I mentioned he talks in the whole chapter of Romans 7, the struggling. So it's real, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. However, the catechism gives believer tremendous comfort that we are not condemned for our struggling of sins because of the imputation of Jesus Christ's righteousness. It's not about our work. It's all about his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we can see this beautiful double, we call double imputation. Just as God reckoned the sinless Christ as a sinner by imputing him our sin, so God reckoned us righteous in Christ because the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus have been imputed to us. You see this beautiful double imputation. What a glorious and beautiful truth for believer to meditate on. So, and now as we come to our text today, I want to focus more on question 54 and 55. On the church and the communion of the saints. So our text today, we focus on 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13. I will now read again for these two verses. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 13. "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, but one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So Apostle Paul writes the letter to the church of Corinth because they have many serious problems, not only by hearing the report about their immoral issues in the church, we can see in chapter 5 and many other chapters, but also many other hot topics, such as idolatry, problems in the public worship, and so on. They have a lot of problems. And among those issues, there is one problem that is very critical for the church that Paul used many chapters to address about it, which is the issue of division. In other words, it seems that the Corinthian church does not have the unity in the church. Therefore, Paul writes a letter to promote the unity and the purity in both doctrine and behavior. In chapter 12, Paul talks about the division caused by spiritual gifts. So by God's help, today we will see that Paul's exhortation to the Corinthian church and also to every one of us, that as true believers, although we have different kinds of gifts, we have different kinds of background or positions, social positions, but we are one in Christ. So our theme today is one body in Christ. We will see 2 points. First, many members. Second, one body. So we will see first, many members. In the beginning of this verse 12, Paul makes this undoubted statement to the Corinthian believers that no one can dispute it. He uses the analogy, or I would say he uses an illustration, to show that one body has many members. He says, "For as the body is one and hath many members." He uses this illustration that everyone can understand it, because we all consist of the body and soul. We have this tangible body. There are many members in our bodies. Members, we can understand it as some can be translated into parts. So we have many parts in our body. We have eyes, ears, noses, mouth, legs, and so on. Every part has its importance, has its important function. Eyes to see, ears to hear, noses to smell, mouth to speak and eat, legs for walking. God created those parts so well that human being can function well, to glorify his name. However, many people today in the world neglect this truth, rejecting the truth of their creator. So therefore, every part of the body matters. Not only matters, actually, but they are created so delicately for the good of the body. As Paul elaborates in the latter sentence, we can see from verse 15 to 21, he's talking about a member of the body should not think itself unimportant, or it does not belong to the body, because it may not have the significant function as other bodies, other parts. Dear friends, will you think that your fingernail is not part of your body because maybe it does not function as like your heart? I don't think you will think that way. Moreover, a member of the body should not despise yourself to have one A member of body should not despise the other parts of the body because it has less importance or it has weakness. Will you tell yourself to have one more eyes to replace your fingernail? Will you want to replace one of your hands to another heart? I don't think so. Maybe even you have some diseases in your eyes. You will not tell your doctor, just cut it off. I don't think you will say that because that's the member of your body. You will not even think about that way. Likewise, dear brothers and sisters, you should live in harmony with one another. Members of the Christian church should think neither too highly nor too lowly of their gifts, but everyone use their spiritual gifts for the common good. Holy Spirit gives every believer their uniqueness and different gifts so that they can serve the body, to serve the church for the sake of Christ. It's the second part of the answer to Heidelberg Catechism. It says that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. He may have the gift of preaching. Maybe you have the gift of communication. Maybe that lady have the gift of organization. All people have different gifts. I still remember in my previous church in China, which is in a very small town, and most people are from countryside. They're not educated. Maybe their education level just middle school, and they're not wealthy, or I would say very poor, because in a countryside underground Chinese church. I still remember there's one old lady. After service, he went to the pastor, talked to him. He said, "Pastor, I do not read the word. I do not have money. I have nothing, but I think at least I know how to cook. I think I can use this gift to serve church after this morning service so that every saint can stay after the church to have fellowship together. It's great. It's very beautiful, isn't it?" She said, "At least I have the gift of cooking. God gave me this gift for the benefit of the church." Dear beloved, every spiritual gift that God gives you is valuable in His eyes for the glory of God and establishment of the whole church. Maybe you have questioned why Paul uses this illustration of the body. He answered this in the end of verse 13. "So also is Christ. All members, all believers are members of the body of Christ. And the reason they can use all different spiritual gifts to the common good is because they are all union with Christ. They're in Christ. You are in Christ. So you are the members of the body in common, partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts." As John Calvin comments here this way, "Although the members of the body are various and have different functions, They're various and have different functions. They're nevertheless connected together in such a way that they are united as one. Therefore, we who are members of Christ, although we are endowed with various gifts, ought nevertheless to focus on that union which we have in Christ. So as we see, one body has many members, the unity with diversity. Now we see back, see our second point, one body. Although many members, but in one body. Diversity in unity. Paul says in verse 13b, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Although believers have all kinds of different gifts, but they're one in Christ. When we say one body, we say that all believers belong to this one holy Catholic Church. This invisible church, which is the question 54 of Heidelberg Catechism. And this holy Catholic, or this holy universal church, is the body of Christ, where Jesus Christ is the head. In Ephesians chapter 5:23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Dear brothers and sisters, if you are true believers, if you have relationship with Christ and have union with him, you are one in the body of Christ. You all belong to this invisible church, this invisible holy universal or Catholic Church. Maybe you have question, how can we belong to this one body? Apostle Paul explains this beautiful doctrine in the following sentence. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, because we are all regenerated by the same Spirit. The same Spirit that converts Paul, the same Spirit that empowers Jesus Christ to perform all kinds of miracles, the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from death, and now the same Spirit regenerates each of the believers. It's the answer of question 54. That the Son of God from the beginning of to the end of the world gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word. The Holy Spirit works through the Word, or some theologians will say works with the words, to do the work of regeneration. This is what we call here the baptism of the Spirit. It's not just baptism of the water, because we know the outward work of the water cannot wash away our sins, but it truly is a sign for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus 3, verse 4, the Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And moreover, it does not refer to some second experience, as we now, in nowadays, we can often hear the Pentecostalism, they will view this baptism of the Holy Spirit as a second experience after salvation, that the Holy Spirit will come upon believer to anoint and empower them for special service. No, it doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. A theologian speaks against this view. He says, the baptism of the Spirit is not a second or and subsequent experience that enjoyed for some Christians. No, it does not refer that. But this baptism of Spirit is the initial experience enjoyed by all believers. Therefore, the reason that the believers are in one body, because they are all regenerated by the same Spirit into the body of Christ. Furthermore, Paul demonstrates the meaning of the word Catholic or universal in the following sentences. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So I have touched it briefly before. Now I will reinforce again. It's called Catholic Church or Universal Church because all believers from the world who believe in Jesus Christ belong to this true church. No matter what ethnic group you are, both Jews and Gentiles, no matter you are from America, China, Netherlands, no matter. And no matter what social position you are, both be bond or free, as long as you have union with Christ, you belong to this body. How beautiful it is. The gospel is offered to everyone and it is believed on this world. Dear beloved, whether you are poor or rich, whether you are highly educated or not, whether you have very good health or not, whether you may have some little spiritual gifts or someone has much, if you are true believers of Jesus Christ, there is no division among you. You belong to this Holy Catholic Church through the work of the same Spirit. The same Spirit, and also by the same Spirit, you are united with Christ, drinking the living water of Jesus Christ. As it is written in John 7, verse 37 to 39, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believed on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And in this verse, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, many theologians would understand it as the Lord's Supper, drinking the common cup. Calvin comments this way. Apostle teaches that believers, as soon as they're initiated by the baptism of Christ, are already imbued with the desire of cultivating mutual unity. And then afterwards, when they receive the sacred supper, they are again conducted by degrees to the same unity, as they are all refreshed at the same time with the same drink. However, whether Paul here refers to the Lord's Supper or not, there is one thing for sure, that all believers drink the life-giving blood of Christ by the work of the same Spirit, that they may have life in common with Jesus, which we truly have, because he lives in us by his Spirit. What a beautiful picture that Paul gives to us, that all believers are in one body of Jesus Christ by the work of the Spirit. Just as our body has all different parts, yet one body. All members with diversities are indispensable, and all members that are gathered, defended, and preserved by Jesus Christ through his Spirit are one in him. And because of this oneness in Jesus Christ, all members with different gifts are in common, partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. You should use your spiritual gifts to build up the body and one another in love. What a harmonious work through his Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his tremendous work on each of the members. However, if some of you still do not believe in him or do not know him, you do not belong to this church. You do not belong to this body. You are united with this world. You are ruled under the dominion of Satan. You will not taste the sweetness of the communion of saints. You cannot experience the joy of partaking the riches and gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the miserable state you are now, if you are not in this body of Christ, you will be eventually cast out into eternal death. However, today, the gospel comes to you, call you to repent, dear friend, to repent. Believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him. Submit yourself to his headship, because only in him you can have such wonderful fellowship and communion with each other. And only you, in him, you can truly experience of this unity with diversity. And only in him you can drink this living water forever to taste its sweetness. And only in him you can have this eternal life. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you again to bring your word to each of us, to see the beauty of your church and your people gathering together. Use different gifts to serve you and serve one another. Oh Lord, please forgive our sins. Many times we may despise one another. Maybe we despise their gift too little, or we regard our gift too high. Lord, please forgive us. But always remind us by your word that we, although have different gifts, but we are one. We are one in your Son, Jesus Christ. May you help us to meditate on this truth daily, to serve you and serve one another in love for the benefit of the church. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.